we'd like to turn to the book of John, chapter 5. Book of John, chapter 5. Last week we said that we were going to begin a series starting tonight. This goes back to a couple of Wednesday nights ago when we gave a real quick lesson on searching the scriptures, and several asked if we could do a series on this, so that's what we're going to do, and we're going to do it slowly and in great detail, how to read, search, and study the Word of God. Again, John chapter 5, verse 39, we'll read there. And I do believe that most Christians, when they read the Bible, it is not very profitably, and most probably don't know how. I'm not saying they don't know how to read, but they don't know how to read the Word of God and study it. But again, we'll give several different ways, different aspects. Tonight will be more introductory than anything. But in John 5, verse 39, search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. It's more than reading. In all of our reading of the Scriptures, there needs to be a searching. That's more than skimming. Scriptures is not something that we should skim. It's not a phone book. You go to a phone book, it's a list of facts. Name, phone number, and address. And when you go to a phone book, that's all you're doing is looking for specific facts for what you need at that moment. And that's exactly how many people treat the Word of God, just like a phone book. They go to it just for some facts that they might need at that particular moment, and then they forget all about it. So again, it's not something that we should skim, but to search means to make a thorough check. That is, we're to be thorough. Even when we read it casually, there's to be a degree of searching, a degree of being thorough. It means to examine and to inspect. And again, this is thoroughly to scrutinize. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul told Timothy that all Scripture is profitable. All Scripture. Every portion of the Word of God is profitable. Everything. Every little word is profitable. There's profit in it. Now, we may not always get the profit, and certainly we're not going to get as much as we could. But every time we read the Word of God, there ought to be some profit to us spiritually. If there isn't, we haven't read it right. We need to read it again. So all Scripture is profitable. That means in all of our reading of Scripture, in all of our searching of Scripture, in all of our studying of Scripture, and all our meditating upon the Word of God, we ought to be profited spiritually. And again, if we're not, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong either in our preparation, and that's usually a problem with a lot of folks. There's something wrong in our preparation. There may be something wrong in our approach. And again, if the preparation isn't there, the approach is shot. There may be something wrong with your plan. Maybe you have proper preparation. Maybe you have a proper approach, but you don't have a plan. Maybe something wrong with the method that you're using. But one thing we know for sure, if you haven't profited from reading, studying, and searching Scripture, the problem's not with Scripture, because all Scripture is profitable. So the answer is not, I need to buy a Bible that's more easy. No, that's not what you need. Because the problem's not with Scripture. You see, every time someone says that, I can't understand the King James Bible. I'm going to go get something that I can understand. What you're saying is the problem is with Scripture. And that's not where the problem is. Because all Scripture is profitable. So our preparation, our approach, our plan, our method of reading, searching, and studying, and even meditating on the Word of God should be that which makes Scripture profitable to us. That is, we get something out of it, and we profit by it. So our approach is what we want to speak upon tonight, is our approach to the Word of God. How do we approach the Word of God? Now, by approach, I mean the preliminary steps that we take prior to opening the Word of God. But not only that, it's an attitude that we have to maintain the entire time that we are reading, searching, and studying the Scripture. So there has to be a proper approach. Now, our approach has to promote or lead to accuracy. If you're inaccurate in dividing Scripture, it's not going to be profitable. It's going to be destructive. So in all of our study, in all of our reading, we have to be accurate. And if there's nothing where accuracy is more important than the Word of God. No other area in our entire life where accuracy is more important. That's why we're told there in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 to rightly divide the word of truth. That means we have to be accurate. So whatever method of study we use, it has to be accurate. It has to promote accuracy. It has to lead to accuracy. Another thing that our approach should lead to is discovery of what the Word of God says. We do not, you and I, do not interpret the meaning of Scripture. God's already determined the meaning of Scripture. It's not for you and I to determine what does this verse mean. God's already determined it. It only has one meaning. What is our responsibility is to discover what God means. That's our responsibility, to discover it. So when we approach the Word of God, our approach should be that which leads to discovery. Again, if we read the Word of God and we haven't discovered anything, then it hasn't profited us. It hasn't profited us. You might as well have just read another book. So it should lead to discovery of what the Lord means. And again, we'll say this probably 1,000 times, but it's not for you and I to determine the meaning. We simply need to discover it. That's very simple. And then, of course, our approach should lead to accuracy, discovery, and application. There has to be application to Scripture. Again, it's not going to profit you and I if we do not apply it to our lives. Do not read the Word of God for somebody else. That is, you're going to straighten out somebody else, so you're going to read the Word of God. That's the wrong reason to read the Word of God. You read the Word of God to apply it to yourself. So, approach is absolutely essential to rightly dividing the Word of God. So if our approach is wrong, then of course we've started out wrong. We're already going in the wrong direction as far as rightly dividing the Word of truth. And if our approach is wrong, then our ability to apply the Scripture has been crippled. If it's not accurate, if what we read, what we understand is not accurate, then any application we make is based on inaccuracy. So again, it's so important that it be accurate. If we're going to make proper application, we have to be accurate. So all of these things work together. And I do believe that there is a way to read and to study and to search the Scriptures that will be profitable every single time. Every time. Every single time you can be accurate. Every single time you can discover something that God says. And every single time you can apply it to your life. There's a way to do that. And that's what that's the whole point of this series. So we see here in John 5 that we're to search the Scriptures. Again, that begins with our approach. And we'll just mention some things real quick. We've already mentioned some of these a couple weeks ago. But we have to approach the Word of God with preparation of heart. We have to have our hearts prepared. And then as we read the Word of God, our hearts are continually being prepared. By preparation, I mean prayer. When we pick up the Word of God to read it, we ought to pray. We ought to talk to the Lord. We ought to ask God to help us to be accurate. It ought to scare us. It ought to scare us to be inaccurate when it comes to the Word of God. So we need to pray, Lord, help me to read it accurately. Now, to be accurate, I have to notice every word. We're going to be accurate. Again, this isn't about skimming. This isn't about speed reading. Not how much you can read in a year. That's not what reading the Bible is about. It's about being accurate. And that requires preparation of heart. That requires prayer. That requires personal examination. It requires personal honesty with yourself and who you are and what you're going through at the time. So there has to be prayer. There has to be examination. This is before you read the Scriptures. There has to be confession, and there has to be repentance. That's what I mean. That's what I mean when I talk about having our hearts prepared. Now, if our hearts are prepared, that leads us to the second step of approach, and that is we're to approach the Word of God as the Word of God. If our hearts are prepared, we won't have any problem doing that. We won't have any problem approaching it as the Word of God. Most of God's people do not approach the Scriptures as the Word of God. They approach it as any other book. And that has been preached and taught for many years. Just read it like you would any other book. But it's not any other book. And you don't read it like any other book. When I read any other book, I do not read every single word. I skim. But that's not how you read the Scriptures. When I read any other book, I don't read a few words and stop. But that's how I read the Scriptures. So approach it as the Word of God. That simply means there has to be humility. There has to be a reverence for the Word of God. There has to be an awe for the Word of God. Now, that will not happen unless we prepare our hearts. If we prepare our hearts, we will approach God's Word with humility. And we will have a reverence and an awe for it. And the importance of the reverence and the awe is that helps us to be more accurate. If you reverence it and you awe the Word of God, you want to be accurate. You have a desire to be accurate. So humility, reverence, and awe. And notice in Psalm 25, verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. That's humility, that's reverence, that's awe. When you fear God, when you have this humility, when you have this reverence, when you have this awe of God and His Word, the secret of the Lord is with that individual. That is, that individual is going to see things that others do not see. That individual is going to have things revealed that others do not. Notice the next part of the verse, and He will show them. To them, going back to those who fear the Lord, He will show them His covenant. Now, that's true in every aspect of Scripture. If we have a humble heart, we approach the Word of God with reverence and awe, and we have a reverence and awe toward the Lord, the secret of the Lord is with us. God's going to show us things. And that's the whole purpose of reading the Word of God. Again, not to determine meaning, but to discover the meaning. And God shows us when our hearts are prepared. By approaching the Word of God as the Word of God, we mean that you approach it with faith. You have to believe that it's the Word of God. You have to believe everything that God says. And God means what He says, and He says what He means. We may not understand exactly at the time what it is that He means, but we know He means what He said. And whatever He said has value, because all Scripture is profitable. So we have to approach it with faith, submission, and seriousness. We have to be serious when we read the Word of God. And that's why I believe that when you read the Word of God, you need to go somewhere where it's quiet. You need to go somewhere where you are alone and read the Word of God. You might be able to read another book with the dog barking and the kids running around like wild Indians. You might be able to read another book like that, but you can't read the Word of God like that. It's not possible. This demands too much accuracy. You have to get along. So this approaching the Word of God as the Word of God includes faith, submission, seriousness, and all of this requires a determined heart, a determined mind, a contemplative heart and mind. That is, as we read, we need to contemplate what we've read. It also includes a meditative state of heart and mind. We need to meditate. And that's a lost skill today, meditating. Meditating on what God has said. And meditating is simply digesting. That's all it is. It's digesting what God has told us. And that's what we should do all day long. If we're going to approach it in faith, submission, and seriousness, it means that we have to reflect about what we've read. We have to reflect upon it. We have to be thoughtful. We have to really concentrate on thinking about what we've read. You say, well, all of this sounds like work. Exactly. It's exactly what it is. To search for something is a labor. It's a work. It's difficult. And reading the Word of God is a work. It's a labor. It requires perseverance, because when you start to approach the Word of God correctly, the devil is going to work very hard. Now, if you're satisfied with just skimming it, he'll leave you alone. He knows you're not going to get anything out of it. So it doesn't matter to him. But when you get serious about really studying and reading the Word of God, The devil's going to be at work. So we need to approach it as the Word of God. We also need to approach it realizing our absolute dependence upon the Spirit of God. As we said a couple weeks ago, this does not have anything to do with your IQ. It doesn't have anything to do with your intelligence. This has to do with our dependence upon the Spirit of God. There are men very, very intelligent that preach the Word of God and do so in great error, and every time they read it and every time they open their mouth about it, they say something blasphemous. They're super intelligent, but that has nothing to do with the Word of God. So we need to realize our dependence upon the Spirit of God. In John chapter 14, notice verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And that's true. Everything you and I have ever learned about Scripture, the Holy Spirit taught us. Now, the Lord may have used a man to explain it, but if you've learned it, the Holy Spirit's the one that taught it. That's always the case. Always the case. So, he shall teach you all things. And notice what else he does as he teaches. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. When the Holy Spirit teaches, you don't forget. You don't forget. A lot of people have forgotten almost everything that they have been taught by man in the Word of God. The problem is they've been taught by man. When the Spirit of God teaches you, you're not going to forget it, because he's going to recall it to your memory. Then notice in John chapter 16, John 16, begin reading with verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And we've pointed this out before. He will guide you into. That's not unto, it's into. There's a big difference. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. If it doesn't glorify God, the Spirit of God is not the one teaching you. It has to glorify God. If it doesn't glorify God, if it doesn't glorify Christ, if it doesn't uplift Christ, it cannot be of the Spirit of God. It's got to be wrong. It's got to be an error. So there's a lot of things you can eliminate by just getting some foundations. The Spirit of God is never going to lead contrary to His Word. So if it's contrary, something's wrong. Something's wrong with your understanding. If it does not exalt Jesus Christ, if it in any way diminishes the glory of Jesus Christ, it is not of the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. In other words, there's absolute consistency with what the Spirit of God shows us and what Christ teaches. Absolute consistency. Verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Again, there is a perfect unity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are in unity. Then notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll read verses 9 through verse 11, and then verse 13 and 14. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Again, it's not for us to determine the meaning of Scriptures. What we need to happen is God to reveal it to us. And he uses the Spirit of God to reveal it unto us. So when we approach the Word of God, we need to approach it asking the Lord to reveal Scripture unto us. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Holy Spirit does not compare apples to oranges. People do that. People do that all the time. But the Spirit of God compares spiritual with spiritual. That is, there's consistency throughout. Verse 14, but the natural man, that's the flesh that you and I are born with, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So as long as you and I are in this human body, there is a part of us that does not receive the things of God. We have to realize that. There's a part of us that is opposed to the things of God. And that's why we have to depend upon the Spirit of God to reveal and to show us. For they are foolishness unto him. The Word of God is foolishness unto the natural man. Neither can he know them. That is the natural man. Whatever truth I know, it's the spiritual man that knows it. The natural man cannot receive the truth, cannot know the truth without the Spirit of God, because they are spiritually discerned or unable. So we're to approach the Word of God with the recognition and with the recognition of our dependence upon the Holy Spirit, and just simply asking God to reveal to us what he says. I promise you, the author of the book wants to act as an interpreter. You need to step aside and just let the interpreter speak. And he will. But again, this gets back to proper preparation. We need to pray with Samuel in 1 Samuel 3 and verse 9. Remember, Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And every time we read the Word of God, we need to be praying, "Speak, Lord. Speak to me. Show me." And again, this all has to do with our approach. We have to approach the Word of God with a passion and with a desire to know it, to know what it says. Not with what we want it to say. People will search for certain scriptures to prove their opinion. What are they doing? They are trying to make the Word of God say what they want it to say. We need to just approach it with a desire to know what it says. To know what it says about everything and about every situation. So there has to be a desire to know. Read Psalm, well, let's turn there. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 27. Psalm 119, verse 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. He says basically the same thing in verse 34. He says, give me understanding. Verse 73, he says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Verse 125, I am thy servant. Give me understanding. Verse 144, we see it again. Give me understanding. Verse 169, give me understanding. It's obvious that the psalmist wanted to understand. But not only that, he realized who it was that could give him the understanding. So when we approach the Word of God, we need to approach it with a desire to know what it says. with a desire to understand what it says. You should not have to ask someone what every verse of Scripture means. Go to the one who can give you understanding. Talk to Him. Talk to the Lord and ask the Lord to give you the understanding. Help it cause you to understand Scriptures. Sometimes you may be reading a verse and you just need to stop right there and say, Lord, help me to understand what this means. Now, people usually do a couple of things. If they don't understand something, they just go over it. Forget about it. That's the easiest thing to do. Or they'll go grab a commentary, which may not be right. Good chance it won't be. Or they'll get on the phone and call somebody, and they may not be right. The best thing to do is just ask God to give you understanding. He may not do it right then. It may be next week. But you just need to keep praying. Lord, give me, help me to understand what this means. And then once the Lord causes you to understand, you know it. Now you know it. It's truth. And once the Lord gives you the understanding, there's conviction. And then, lastly, as far as our approach to the Word of God, we need to approach it with a desire to make personal application. We always have to desire to apply it to ourselves. Apply it to our person, our circumstances, our situation. Now, application is simply the act of putting to use. Scripture is not going to profit us if we don't put it to use. In fact, if all we do is read Scripture and gain a knowledge of facts, and it stops there, guess what you are? You're a Pharisee. That's what the Pharisees did. They knew the facts. They knew the facts of Scripture, but they never put it to use. They were Pharisaic. They were Pharisees. They were self-righteous. And that's what happens when an individual fills their head with biblical facts and never puts it into practice. They become self-righteous. They become Pharisaical. So to apply means to put it to use. It means to relate the passage to ourselves, connect it to ourselves. Because the Word of God has a connection to the person. There is a connection between you and I and the Word of God. And we need to find that connection. And that's the process of making application. So I wanted to just spend a few minutes here. Still got about 10 minutes. Concerning application. Now, there's several ways to make application, and we'll get into those next week. But the reason God gave us His Word is that we would apply it. He gave us His Word that it would have an impact upon our lives. And the only way that it's going to have an impact upon our lives is if we apply it. So we have to make application. If you read the Word of God, you study the Word of God, you search the Word of God, and you do not make application, you've missed the whole point. You've missed it all. And the Word of God is not profitable to you. So there has to be application. Because just knowledge about God's Word, there may be some benefit there, but it's the application that causes, that gives us the profit. So just a few things about application, and we'll get into application next week. But a valid application has to be based upon an accurate interpretation. You have to know what the verse says before you can apply it correctly. You have to be accurate in what it says. And that's why people make invalid applications all the time. They will commit a sin and then try to justify it in Scripture. They're trying to make an application, but they're inaccurate in their interpretation. And if you're inaccurate in your interpretation, everything's wrong. Your application and everything. So it's based upon an accurate interpretation. Another thing that is absolutely necessary, and a lot of people have a problem here, is honesty. If you're going to make personal application, you have to be honest. That means you have to know yourself. Most people don't. Most people are very ignorant about who they are, what they are. They're not honest enough to look and see who they are. Now, if you're going to make proper application, you got to know who you are. You have to know your strengths, and don't think that the devil will not use your strengths. The devil will use your strengths against you. The devil's not going to just use your weaknesses. He'll certainly use those, but he'll use your strengths against you. And we have to be aware of that. So we have to know our strengths. We have to know our weaknesses. We have to know our tendencies. What am I likely to do in such a situation? We have to have some idea of our tendencies. Paul declared in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 2 that he did not handle the word of God deceitfully. Now, he, of course, was referring to preaching. But the word of God can be handled deceitfully in many ways. It can be handled deceitfully when you and I just pick it up and read it, when we study it, when we search it. And if we're not honest with ourselves and we're not willing to make an honest application, we're handling the Word of God deceitfully. If we pick and choose scriptures that suit us and make us happy, you're handling the Word of God deceitfully to your own destruction. So we need to be honest. We have to be honest. And then we have to realize that valid, good applications don't just happen. You see, again, the devil, you can read the Word of God. You can even have a pretty clear understanding of that. But what upsets the devil is when you apply it to your life. So you have to realize, just because you understand what a verse says, that doesn't mean you automatically apply it. Application just doesn't happen automatically. It takes work. And I believe there are certain methods, and we'll get into that next week, but there are certain ways to help us to apply the Word of God. But every time we read Scripture, we need to read it with the intent of, I'm going to apply it to my life. You pick it up, I'm going to prove so-and-so wrong, and you look up every single verse that goes against whatever they're doing or whatever you want to prove. But the problem is, you haven't applied any of it to yourself. And any time we read the Word of God, we need to make personal application. Personal application. We need to apply Scripture using the intended functions of the Word of God. Notice in 2 Timothy, and we'll close here and pick up next week, but in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is, all Scripture is breathed of God. Because it's breathed of God, it's profitable. All Scripture is breathed of God, and all Scripture is profitable. And then he tells us what it is profitable for. And he mentions four things. He says it's profitable for doctrine, that is, for teaching. It's teaching ourselves. is when you and I read the Word of God, there's something there that is profitable to teach us. It is profitable for reproof. When we read the Word of God, there's probably something there to reprove us. It is profitable for correction. That's the next step after reproof. Reproof is no good unless correction follows. Correction is simply the steps we need to take care of what has been reproved. So it is profitable for doctrine. It is profitable for reproof. It is profitable for correction. And then it is profitable for instruction in righteousness. That is, it's going to lead us. It not only reproves us for what is wrong, but leads us into what is right. It's profitable for those four things. Now, those are the intended functions of the Word of God. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. And we'll pick up there next week, but you can use those four things. Those four things, and we'll show you how to do that next week in making personal application. You can always take those four words, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, and you can use that as a guideline to make personal application. But we've run out of time. We're going to ask Brother Rich to come and